he takes direction so well. It's Lansing keyboard sage Mike Scorey here in Studio S on a Live Music Friday here on WKAR's Current State. More from Mike Scorey throughout the course of the hour. If you've heard live music in Lansing, the odds are pretty high that Mike Scorey had a hand in playing. He's a great piano player, been around for many years, and he'll be with us throughout the hour, and we'll be talking about the Old Town Blues Fest, which happens this weekend and which Mike is a part of. Welcome back to Current State for Friday. I'm Mark Bayshore. At the top of our program today, for a long time, measles and whooping cough seemed as far gone as typewriters and telegrams. But in recent years, these highly contagious diseases have made a comeback. Doctors say that's due in part to more parents opting out of vaccinating their kids. Outbreaks of measles and whooping cough in Michigan in recent years prompted state officials to look at ways to boost the state's immunization rates. Starting this fall, parents who want a non-medical immunization waiver will have to first meet with a county health official. Here to talk about the new rule and the impact that it's had so far is Ingham County Health Officer Linda Vail. Welcome back, Linda.
Thank you, Mark.
And also Dr. Eden Wells, Chief Medical Executive for the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Welcome to Current State, Dr. Wells. Nice to see you. And we invite our listeners to get us your questions. You can email us, currentstate@wkar.org, or connect with us on Twitter, @KAR. Current State. Dr. Wells, I think it might be useful to just start with an explanation of what qualifies as a non-medical waiver.
A non-medical waiver is any request by a parent who defer the immunizations for themselves or their children due to either religious or philosophical reasons. So we really have not any issues. This rule does not address the medical waiver, which is clearly if there's a medical problem, the doctor will sign off and approve a waiver for that child. So really, it comes down to either personal beliefs due to religion or philosophy.
And Michigan has one of the highest rates of vaccination waivers for kindergartners, correct?
Yes. We are unfortunately, we are number four in the United States in that top five, and that's not a place you want to be in this type of subject.
Well, how do they break down in terms of the philosophical versus the medical?
Under 1% are medical waivers. So in our counties here, we have about an average of 5.3% across the counties of children that are waived for non-medical waivers in Michigan. But this can vary from one county that's maybe 1% to another county next door that could be up to 20%, which means one of every five children aren't getting their vaccines.
Mm-hmm. This new requirement was prompted by measles and whooping cough outbreaks in several counties across the state. Linda Vail, the rates of vaccination vary pretty considerably from county to county. How does Ingham compare with the rest of the state?
Well, if you look at the state puts out what's called an immunization report card. And if you look at that, Ingham County actually doesn't rank well. I'd have to look at my exact numbers, but out of 84 counties that are ranked, we rank in the 60s in some of the things, 60s, 50s. And compared to other counties that you would typically compare to us, that it really isn't very good. So there's something going on here that we certainly need to address. As Dr. Wells was mentioning with the philosophical versus the other waivers and rates, we run about 76% of our waivers are for philosophical reasons, and another 20-some percent for religious reasons, and very, very few for medical. So the vast majority of them are purely philosophical objections.
Hmm. Has Ingham County had any of the kinds of outbreaks that some of the other counties have experienced?
We've dealt with pertussis outbreaks and other, you know, like more minor outbreaks of things like chicken pox and things like that. We did not have an outbreak of measles in this last year or two as the measles has gone on its resurgence.
Well, Dr. Wells, talk to us about the new rule then. What does it require of parents who want to get a non-medical waiver?
That's a great question. So this went effect in January 1st of 2015, and really this is the first school year, school entrance year that we're really dealing with this. And what this means for parents is it really applies to all children in who are entering either public or private schools in the state. If they're entering a licensed child care kindergarten or seventh grade, they need to show, the parents need to show that their child's immunizations are up to date. And this also includes those children that have moved from one school district to another. That's something that some parents may not realize, so any newly enrolled student. And it doesn't take away the rights of the parents for having a non-medical waiver, but it's simply asking that these parents undergo a counseling session. And I don't, that counseling sounds odd because it sounds like a they're back to school. I think it should be more of a really having the conversation and the discussion with the local health department about the risks and benefits of waiving your child's immunizations.
When the Department of Health and Human Services was looking at ways to boost immunization rates, how did you decide that this was the best way to boost them?
You know, this was interesting because this was actually a decision that was really made by a vast number of stakeholders, not just the Department of Health and Human Services. We had pediatricians, public health nurses, healthcare providers across the state, all who met together to work and try to, you know, figure out ways to improve the vaccine waiver problem. And what the decision was is that having these sessions, these discussions at the local health department would ultimately be the best decision and not take away the right of the parent, as some other states are considering doing, but to really say, you have this right, but let's sit down and make sure everybody, no matter what county you live in, has the same type of good information to make that decision with.
And I would add to that that there were actually a few counties in the state of Michigan that piloted this, essentially, that made a local rule, as local health officers have the ability to do, that says here in this county, you must have an education session with your health department before. So that happened beforehand and gave the state a little bit of information about how well that worked in some select counties in order for them to push it forward.
Right.
Linda Vale is Ingham County Health Officer. We're also joined by Dr. Eden Wells, Chief Medical Executive for the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and we're talking about Michigan's efforts, the state's efforts, to boost vaccination rates by requiring parents who want a non-medical immunization waiver to meet with their county health department staff. Linda, so these parents who want a non-medical exemption are heading to your health department and the other 82 in the state and sitting down with a public health nurse there. What do those conversations tend to sound like?
Those conversations are, they're very informational. They're very educational. You know, as Dr. Wells says, it's a counseling session, but it's an education. It's an interaction. It's an opportunity to actually, you know, address concerns that parents might have, to explain some things that are typically myths within the whole vaccination realm. They last about 20 to 30 minutes. We generally have really good interactions with folks. So it's a very positive, informational session related to vaccines, pros and cons, and what it is that's really going on in the vaccination world.
How often do you manage to persuade a parent that is skeptical or out and out against the idea of having their child vaccinated? How often are you able to persuade them otherwise?
Well, I was afraid you'd ask that question.
That's my
We've
job.
We've had about 281 of these sessions in our department so far this year, and five people have changed their minds and gotten vaccinated. Mm. There's some other kind of nuances with what's going on related to the whole vaccination issue that even though that number is small, we do think that this rule is going to drastically change the waiver rates. And that's what I would refer to as what we call convenience waivers. So we have a number of people, because the school districts were handling the waivers rather than the health department, that would opt for a philosophical waiver really for convenience purposes. They arrive at school, they suddenly discover, I have to have this immunization thing. They don't have it. Their child isn't up to date. They don't philosophically oppose it, nor do they have a religious opposition. But the convenience of their lives right then is, I've got to leave and go have a doctor's appointment. Or the school hands me a piece of paper and says, well, you can sign this waiver. And so they sign the waiver and maybe eventually get to the immunizations anyway. Then they're delayed in the schedule. What this does is say, you know, if you're going to waive your immunizations, you're still going to have to go and have an appointment. It's either going to be that appointment for the immunizations, or it's going to be this appointment with the health department for education. So it's no longer convenient either way. And so those folks that were opting for waivers, really just more out of convenience purposes, that's going to go away. And that's where we think we're really going to see a really drastic change.
Over time, okay.
In the waivers.
Well,
yes.
Convenience aside, Dr. Wells, I mean, the ratio Linda mentioned suggests some pretty firmly held convictions. What's driving these convictions?
You know, I think that I'd like to echo certainly what Linda said, that I think that what we're seeing, the folks that are actually coming now for their sessions with the local health departments are those that have those probably more set beliefs, either philosophically or religiously, and want to have their children waived in terms of vaccines. And as we say, we've been dealing, I think, for a number of decades, but this has increased greatly, I think, in the last 5 to 10 years, sentiments of parents having concerns with vaccines, either the number of vaccines their children are receiving, or perhaps concerns or myths that have been developed over time, misinformation that may have them question the safety of vaccines and such. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we can really feel that these informational sessions are important. I can say from across the state that many of the local health departments are experiencing the same as Linda, is that what we're seeing is those parents who really had simply, I'm signing for convenience, you know, they're not the ones having to come. Their children are getting vaccinated and they're showing up at school. We will be very interested. We will probably know within the next 2 months or so what the initial impact that this rule has had for our schools around the state.
This has come up in the Republican, maybe the Democrat. I'm aware of a couple of Republican presidential candidates that have explicitly commented about this. And I'm wondering, does this belong in the discussion amongst aspiring presidents of the United States?
I would say yes. I think this is of paramount importance that we, understand what vaccines are. We understand that vaccines are safe and they prevent diseases. We had many, many vaccine-preventable diseases before these vaccines came around. They really devastated, lives and lives of children and their families that had to take care of them. And so, we don't need this country to flip and go back to a place where we were before these things were.
1950s and 60s, where mass polio outbreaks and measles outbreaks were killing our children.
I'll tell you, I know very little about this. I've heard that apparently candidate Donald Trump and candidate Carly Fiorina have basically made comments to the effect that parents have to have the right, that defending the right of parents to go for the waiver.
Well, I'd agree, and this was discussed in the recent debates, and there was some disappointing information that I felt was portrayed by some of these candidates who may be, one of them may be one of our future leaders, and not in the sense that I think, again, it just represents some of the misinformation. There was some, again, allusion one candidate made that stated autism was a potential risk for vaccines. Time and time again, multiple Institute of Medicine reports and investigations have shown that this is not the case. So I think there is a need to educate our political candidates and our politicians about the recent and the good science behind this. But I do think that most of our legislators who have become involved in health policy have been very interested in meeting and working with public health to nobody wants to see children become ill. Nobody also, at the same time, wants to see parents rescind their rights to make those decisions. But we need to find this way. We don't want to. There are states that are making laws right across the board that are not allowing anything other than medical waivers. And recently, California did that.
Yeah.
We are allowing this right, but we want the education to come with that.
Science would maintain, if I can generalize here, wouldn't science maintain that we are aiming for herd immunity, what's referred to as herd immunity, and the more kids who get the waivers, mm-hmm. reduces the chances of creating herd immunity? That is kind of the standard interpretation of this by the scientific community.
Because you do have some children who have a medical need to not be vaccinated. And it is our obligation as a society around them, because they have no choice, to protect ourselves in order to protect them, which is what herd immunity is. So some of these diseases require that 94% of us be vaccinated around these people that literally cannot, have no choice. And so that is the only way we can protect them.
Absolutely.
is to be vaccinated around them.
We've been talking about Michigan's efforts to boost immunization rates among school children by making parents who want a non-medical exemption sit down with a county health official. Our guests today have been Dr. Eden Wells, Chief Medical Executive at the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and Ingham County Health Officer Linda Vail. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Lots of dough. People recognize me wherever I go. I don't got trouble getting high, but I don't get you. I believe I will die. Got everything I need. Almost. I got everything I need. Almost. But I don't got you, and you're the thing I need the most.
Pianist Mike Scorey at the Current State Steinway Piano here in Studio S on a live Music Friday here on WKAR's Current State. The Old Town Jazz Fest. No, Old Town Blues Fest is coming up this weekend, so there was nobody more appropriate to have on the program here than Mike, so we'll hear more from Mike Scorey, and we'll be joined by Terry in just a little bit and learn more about everything that's going on this weekend in Old Town related to the Blues Fest. I'm Mark Bayshore. Thanks for joining us here on Current State. The Lansing Bike Party is a group that goes on casual bike rides through Lansing several times a week. Our producer, Katie Cook, went to check it out. Katie, you went on one of their rides?
Yes, I found them on Facebook, and I decided to go meet up with them on one of their Friday rides, which is usually their biggest ride.
So how intense is the Lansing Bike Party? Is it spandex and $3,000 Italian bikes, or is it more ambient than that?
No, it's definitely more relaxed and chill. It's open to everybody. It's not exclusive at all. Bike party is really the best way to describe it because they just ride around, they hang out and chat, they play music, they take little detours and stop at parks along the way, and they always end up somewhere fun, like a bar or a restaurant, or in the summertime they go do swims at pools. So
pretty chill.
Yes.
Who'd you meet?
I met so many great people. I talked with people who've been biking with Lansing Bike Party for a year or more, and I sat down with the organizer, Jeff Potter. I started by asking him how Lansing Bike Party got started.
Well, it was an attempt to find the fun in doing things downtown and the fun in bike riding.
Lansing Bike Party!
Bike Party rocks!
Party by bike!
A lot of times, it seems like bike riding can be done mostly for, say, fitness or just riding to work and back. And we noticed that maybe the local bike riders were maybe becoming just older. And when groups of bikers got together, they were mostly older white guys. So when we first started encouraging social riding around town, we noticed that a greater diversity of people was showing up. And that set off alarm bells. Like, this is a way of riding that a wider variety of people like. So we just thought, let's run with it. Let's do it. Let's see where it goes.
Mandy Hall has been riding with the Lansing Bike Party for about a year. She describes the variety of people that come on rides.
You get people who are very, very serious, are involved in different race type scenes. You get people who commute regularly to school or to work. And then you get people who haven't ridden since they were kids and have decided that they want to start riding again. And I think that's one of the benefits of Bike Party, is that it's a really good space for people who want to do something that's a little active and a little out of their comfort zone. And it's just fun, and it's a good area so that they can learn how to ride their bikes again, you know?
I asked Jeff what makes Lansing Bike Party fun.
Well, we go slow, and so anyone can do it on any bike. So there's no economic or technological barrier. In a lot of bike riding nowadays, the bikes are kind of expensive and even fragile, and that tends to limit who has them. But on our rides, anybody's bike of any kind, if you put air in the tires and put the seat up where it fits the person, they can join in and have fun. So it increases the amount of people who could participate. But another thing that makes the rides fun is the fact that we bring music along on the rides. Several of the riders on every ride will bring small boom boxes and play tunes of various kinds that seem to fit well with the biking. And it's interesting to notice what kinds of music goes well with biking, and some does better than other. And people who like the different kinds will ride in the group near the music that they like, and it works out really well. Music and biking do go together, and it's really fun to experience that.
Joni Meyer is relatively new to the group.
I've been going to the Lansing Bike Party about 6 months, and you know, as urban social riding, it's been very wonderful. It's a new experience, you know. I've lived in Lansing about 15 years, and there's a lot of places that we've gone that I didn't even know existed. So that's pretty amazing.
Eric Swift is a serious cyclist, so for him, the bike party is a whole new kind of ride.
Like, you see people in their natural setting, and we just get to interact with them, be it if walking in the streets, in their houses, on porches, whatever. We wave, they say hi, we say hi. It's an enjoyable experience throughout. It's something that I never got to enjoy on a bike before. Usually, you know, I'm out on a ride by myself and I'm focusing on my riding and just going. Here, it's all about the environment, the community, seeing things and going places I've just never been before in a party atmosphere, which is really cool.
Jeff explained that there are several types of rides every week, but he'd like to see even more.
On Fridays, that's our biggest ride. After work, TGIF sort of thing, we're at about 50 people. And that's quite sizable. Midweek rides are more like, you know, 5, 10, 20. We also have some weekend rides, and that's about the same. But our Friday ride has the most notoriety, and that's where the most people show up. People can host their own rides. You can just say, I want to ride to the farmer's market in Holt. Say where you're starting and when, and people might show up and join you, and you can ride to Holt together. It seems like groups of about a dozen are the most fun. Personally, I especially like rides that people like who are underrepresented in other rides in this area. So, say younger people, women, minorities, families, those kinds of rides I sense as being the greatest need around here. So I would really enjoy encouraging that the most.
Then I talked to Brian. Mandy gives him a nice introduction.
So Brian is the group's bike GPS. He has an entire map of the greater Lansing area just inside of his head, and he is always very good at finding us fun, interesting routes to go on.
Is that true, Brian?
I guess I'm a map in the head type of guy, and like looking for little wormholes and just find a route that's like a little more interesting, a little quirkier than what you normally do. It's pretty easy to impress people with Lansing because most people haven't seen most of the streets.
How'd you get hooked up with Lansing Bike Party?
Well, I've been riding around by myself for years. I thought, it'd be fun to ride with some other people, and this seemed to be a pretty easy way to do it.
What's your favorite part about it?
Meeting all kinds of new people. I mean, it's quite a variety of people who I don't have another way to meet. People tend to keep to their own most of the time, but it's great to get, it's amazing how well people can get along with each other who maybe normally wouldn't have any chance to get together.
So what would you say to somebody who wants to join the bike party but they don't know anybody in the group?
It's not a problem. Just show up and ride, and if you don't want to talk with anybody, you really don't have to. You can just ride along, and odds are you'll find somebody that you like, though. Actually, you'll probably like most everybody. In fact, probably you'll like everybody.
Jeff agrees with the other bikers that the relationship they have with the people in the neighborhoods they ride through is a real highlight of the rides.
We have wonderful relations with the neighborhoods we ride through. We are saying hi to the people on porches, and we're positively interacting with car drivers all the time. And that is a great change of pace compared to how bikes often interact with cars, considering them to be threats. They're not threats to us. We've had zero incidents in hundreds of rides. We get happy honks at us continuously. Maybe we get one mean honk a summer. And it is really uplifting to get positive eye contact with car drivers and to even chat with them. It kind of recharges your batteries for doing other things during the week. I mean, car drivers don't generally have people smile at them. Driving is boring for them, too. But we try to help spread the fun to everybody we're around, and I think we're doing it.
Lansing Bike Party!
For Current State, I'm Katie Cook.
How's it going?
Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. I said, Georgia, Georgia, song to you comes sweet and clear, just like moonlight through the pine. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly, but these peaceful dreams I see are the road leads back to you. I said, Georgia, Georgia, no peace I'll find. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Mike Scorey here on WKAR's Current State, where it's a live music Friday. You can hear more of Mike's work at the Michigan Blues Fest in Old Town Lansing, which kicks off tonight. We'll talk with Mike in a few minutes, hear some more music. And Terry, Message Makers founder and Blues Fest organizer, also joins us here in Studio S in just a minute. A reminder that WKAR-TV, you'll see TV cameras there tonight. We'll be taping the performances for our Backstage Pass program. Come on down to Old Town, be a part of the action there. A couple of other things we've got going on here at WKAR. Tomorrow night on 90.5 FM, live from Hill Auditorium, the Ann Arbor Symphony Orchestra presents opening night Beethoven Festival with Garrick Olson. Some of the works featured on this special live remote on 90.5, Beethoven Symphony No. 3 in E-flat major, the Eroica, and the Fantasia for piano, also known as the Choral Fantasy. Again, the Ann Arbor Symphony Orchestra live from Hill Auditorium tomorrow night at 8 o'clock here on 90.5. We've got another home football game, of course, to remember, the second home game of the MSU season. Tomorrow, Spartans take on Air Force here in East Lansing. One of MSU's coaches, Ron Burton, coached for Air Force for 10 years, so this is something of a homecoming for him. This will be the first time MSU has ever hosted a military academy football team. That's MSU versus Air Force, Spartan Stadium, kickoff at 12 noon tomorrow. For now, it's a live music Friday here on WKAR. Once again, Mike Scorey. Pianist Mike Scorey here on WKAR's Current State, where it's a live music Friday. More music from Mike coming up in just a little bit, and Mike's heavily involved with the Old Town Blues Fest. Here we'll be learning more about the Blues Fest from Mike and from Terry, one of the key organizers, here in just a few minutes on WKAR's Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. Yesterday I got the urge to learn more about the presidential candidates that are gradually picking up supporters here in East Lansing. For about 15 minutes, I spoke with a variety of passers-by and other patrons at a local shopping center. I asked the mostly young respondents which Republican or Democrat would be most likely to get their votes. Now, about half hadn't made up their minds yet and didn't comment. We'll spare you those. And maybe it was the exposure the Republican candidates got the previous night in their party's debate, but I ran into a lot of young Republicans. Here are some of those who did respond.
Donald Trump.
And why?
I just like how he's straightforward, tells it like it is. I think he'd be good for this country overall.
Carly Fiorina. I just really like all of her points, and I like what she's been doing so far. I love her topics.
I'm also Carly Fiorina. I like what she stands for and just how she doesn't take crap from the boys, and she just gives it back. I like that.
I'm not sure completely, because usually I'm a Democrat, but this year I'm kind of back and forth on the fence, so I really like listening to Trump speak, and he's got a lot of good points, and usually I wouldn't go that route, but I like what he is saying, and some of his stuff that he's saying, not all of it, but some of it I'm pretty intrigued with.
Any other Republican you're looking at closely besides Trump?
The doctor, but they're kind of teaming up, so that's probably why I'm persuaded towards the doctor as well.
Oh, I'm really debating. I didn't care for the debate last night at all. My opinion is Trump is making a mockery out of this, but, you know, I'm listening to everything, and we got a lot of work ahead of us. That's all I know, and I'm listening.
You're likely to vote Republican?
Probably not. I'm probably going to vote Democrat.
One's risen to the top among the Democrats?
Not really. I haven't heard enough yet. You know, I just hear a lot of blame, and I don't like all the blame that I'm hearing. I don't care whether they like President Obama or not, but he's still the president, and we need to respect the fact that he's in office.
Would you give Joe Biden a look if he got into the race?
I'd listen to him. I would listen to him, as I would Hillary Clinton or any of them, but I thought last night was just a mockery on a lot of stuff. I didn't care for it, and I think that we need to respect the office of the president a lot more than what we do.
The voices and thoughts there of some random East Lansing residents yesterday about who they're most likely to support for president. It's Current State here on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. The Michigan Blues Fest is tonight and Saturday in Old Town Lansing. Mike Scorey plays a key role in the Blues Fest, both as a performer and as a coordinator of some of the other acts. And Mike's with us here at the Steinway here in Studio S at WKAR today. Let's hear Mike perform To the Outskirts of Town.
To town, I'm gonna move way on the outskirts of town. Cause I don't want nobody always hanging around. Gonna tell you, baby, gonna move away from here. I don't want that ice man gonna buy me a Frigidaire when we move way on the outskirts of town. Cause I don't want nobody always hanging on. Groceries, bring them every day. That'll stop that grocery boy. I got to keep him away when we move way on the outskirts of town. Cause I don't want nobody always hanging on. Thank you. kind of funny, funny as can be. But if we have any children, I want them all to look like me when we move. Right out in the outskirts of town. See, I don't want nobody always hanging around.
To the outskirts of town.
I'm going to move to the outskirts of town.
Going to move to the outskirts of town.
The guy's a little nervous about his girlfriend or wife, I don't know which, but he's a little nervous. I don't think he trusts her.
whose song is that?
Man, I don't know who wrote that. I learned it from a B.B. King version, but, maybe Charles Brown.
The blues are like that.
It's got a Charles Brown feel to it.
There's kind of a lot of public domain stuff in the all-American blues.
I just don't happen to know.
Well, that's Mike Scorey, who plays a key role tonight. He'll be performing, and he also plays kind of an organizational role here with the Michigan Blues Fest, which happens tonight and tomorrow in Old Town. We're also joined by Key Blues Fest organizer Terry. Terry, welcome back, Terry.
Glad to be here.
Good to see you. Mike, you're playing tonight at 6:15 with Matchett and Frog on the River stage.
Yeah.
You booked a bunch of the other acts for the festival as well, so
along with the Capital Area Blues Society.
Busy guy.
We all got together and hashed it out. And
when does it happen, and where in Old Town does it happen?
Right in the streets of Turner and Grand River. We've got three stages, lots of activity there. And I do want to say something about Mike, though. Mike's been around for a long time. We've worked together for a long time. He's been integral to the development from the beginning of really founding, the Blues Fest and selecting great acts and whatnot.
How does the Blues Fest specifically kind of fit in with the overall vibe in Old Town, Terry?
Well, it's perfect. I mean, think about where we started. It was when I moved there, it was a ghost town. And, our nonprofit, the Michigan Institute for Contemporary Art, which is the organizer of Blues Fest, our mission has always been to create an open space in the community where people can get together, meet old friends, make new friends, and in the context of the arts, have conversations about how we can make it a better community. So that's what we're about. That's what this is about.
I have always loved the blues, and I don't make it to the Blues Fest every year, but I've always loved it just because there's no reason we shouldn't have a music event in September. There's something about Labor Day rolling around every year. It's like, okay, time to take the water out of the pool, time to, get the winter coat out and all of that thing. And there's absolutely no reason for that to happen.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I think it's just fantastic that a musical event, an outdoor musical event, takes place in late September every year. So, and I know there's a lot of people who agree with me on that. Mike, how much of your songbook is the blues? I mean, do you consider yourself primarily a blues player? Or
you know what? It depends on the gig.
Yeah.
I mean, I started out loving blues. I mean, like a lot of people in our generation, but
you're a gig-driven player.
I couldn't
player.
Play rock on the piano too good, MC5 just didn't fit in. So, I liked Mitch Ryder because they had a little boogie-woogie piano guy in the background.
Sure.
But my repertoire is what the gig is. I mean, that's literally, I do a lot of freelance.
Well,
Mike's
multi-talented.
You're a versatile player. Yeah.
Jack of all trades. Master of none.
We're talking with our Live Music Friday guest, pianist Mike Scorey, also organizer of the Michigan Blues Fest in Old Town Lansing, Terry. Mike, you're playing with four different bands these days.
Root Doctor. Yeah, that's quite a juggle.
Root Doctor, Greg Nagy, Lisa Bonato, and Tasha Owens.
Yes.
And on top of that, you're all over Scoreyoki.
That's that's my only regular gig is on Thursday nights.
What is Scoreyoki?
Well, it's
It's basically open jam, open mic, but we thought the name sounded kind of clever, so that's why we call it that.
So it's karaoke to live.
Yeah, we have a lot of singers come backing. In. It's a live band, definitely.
Nice, nice.
And then, like last night we had a harmonica night, so we had five or six harmonica players through the night.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of the acts at Blues Fest this year, and we may not be able to get through to everybody. Here are a few tonight, though. Donald Kinsey with the DeWaynes at 6:30. Tell us about some of the folks on the
Donald Kinsey
tonight.
The Kinsey Report. Yeah. So the Kinsey Report played with Albert King and Peter Tosh, Bob Marley. I mean, what a legend to have tonight. And we've got Thurnetta Davis, who was just inducted into the Detroit Music. It's Blues Hall of Fame, and
they had a Blues Award in Detroit, so she's been designated the Queen of the Blues. We like having Thurnetta here because she kind of represents the musical community of Detroit, very sophisticated. She's known as a blues singer, but I'll tell you, she could sing it all. She's an accomplished jazz singer, and her band will be impeccable. And that's always been the history of Detroit music. I mean, they've always had that jazz kind of push to them.
In between Donald Kinsey with the DeWaynes and Thurnetta Davis, Tomas Esparza?
He's from Grand Rapids. Great harmonica player. I don't know who his band is going to be. He'll bring a great band in with him.
Speaking of harmonica, I mean, we've got a harmonica workshop on Saturday. We do a harmonica for kids workshop, so it's just with Andy Wilson. We've got a lot of good activity going on this weekend.
A kids beat stage after actually on Saturday from 1 till 5. What else is going on there? We got the kids can learn some electric guitar, I see.
Yeah. Marshall's donates the use of several guitars and amps, basses, and we have some professional musicians show kids how to play songs just like that. Mm.
Taranzo Cannon's one of them.
Taranzo
Cannon's one of the ones that's involved in some of that. The blues songwriting workshop is what he's doing, and he's one of our headliners on Saturday.
So a Kids Beat stage on Saturday from 1 till 5. Let's look at Saturday's lineup here. Twyla Bird Song at 5 o'clock. The Boa Constrictors at 7:15. What else can you tell us about Saturday's lineup?
Boa Constrictors, another Detroit band. Looking forward to a guy from Chicago, Taranzo Cannon. Just signed a major recording contract. He's hot, hot, hot. And if Thurnetta represents the sophisticated, smooth side of blues, Toronto, rip your head off. He's a Chicago blues guitarist.
Traditional Chicago blues.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He'll bring the thunder.
Our Live Music Friday guest here, keyboard player, singer Mike Scorey. We're also joined by Michigan Blues Fest organizer Terry. Terry, Blues Fest is back in Old Town Lansing tonight and Saturday. The River Stage includes an acoustic guitar workshop with Joel Mabus. Everybody knows Joel. That's today at 5 o'clock.
We have him playing main stage. I just want to mention that. We tried to skirt the boundaries of the blues, and I called up Joel and said, are you interested? Can you do it? And he goes, are you kidding me? I just did an album of Josh White songs. I'm there. So
outstanding.
We're looking forward to hearing that.
Tell us a little bit more about the growth of the Blues Fest, Terry.
Well, in Old Town, we started with just, a few hundred people showing up to our music festivals. The Blues Fest has been our biggest festival ever in terms of, we get 5,000-10,000 people out. But we've expanded. We have 3 stages. We do things along the river. It brings attention to Old Town, and we really try to mix it up always. But, partnering with CABS has been phenomenal, Capillary Blues Society. Mm-hmm. So we have a great partnership in terms of all year long we're scouting for bands. We really want to, have it different each year so people can hear new bands, hear new music, and really enjoy it.
Tell us a little bit more about CABS. I keep hearing the name. I don't know that much about them in detail. It's a pretty devoted group of blues aficionados.
They are devoted.
Yeah.
I don't have the mission statement memorized, but it's the Capital Area Blues Society. And in about every city around the country, there's a Detroit Blues Society, there's a Western Michigan Blues Society, there's a Kalamazoo Valley Blues Society, and don't let the name sounds kind of like the Birdwatchers Society or something. They love live music, yep. And they want to support it, and they do a lot of marketing.
for all kinds of live music.
Well, the hours for the Blues Fest in Old Town Lansing, the Michigan Blues Fest, 5 to midnight tonight, 2 to midnight on Saturday. We want to thank Mike Scorey here. He's going to play us out in just a minute, and you can see Mike sitting in tonight with Matchett and Frog at 6:15 on the Blues Fest River stage. We also want to thank Terry Terry of Message Makers in Lansing, a lead supporter of the Blues Fest with Micah.
And I just want to mention one thing. I'm going to give a shout out to WKAR because Backstage Pass, we record this. Backstage Pass records, and we're in 83 stations around the country, 8 of 10 markets.
That's right.
Major markets.
It's been a big success. Coming up Monday on Current State, before Mike plays us out, we'll have a report from the Michigan Republican Party's leadership conference that will be over the weekend, and 6 presidential candidates will be there. We'll check in with Rick Pluta, who will be on the island. Also, we got a great segment involving Art Prize, which is back in Grand Rapids starting on Wednesday. Melissa Benmark's taking the reins for me as host on Monday. That and more coming up Monday here on Current State on WKAR. Many thanks to our Current State crew here today who had an awful lot of moving parts to contend with. I thank all of them, and I will be seeing all of you the week after next after I take a little bit of a break. Mike Scorey plays us out on Current State.
I said, go, just shake that leg. We're doing a mess around.